I have been invited over here by Dr. Kong specially this morning to speak on Jerusalem. And this will be the first part of Jerusalem, part one. The last time I was here was a long time ago. It was on the 11th of March last year when I was here for the Chinese New Year of the Dog. That means I've not been here for over 1.25 years. And I was very afraid even this morning as I drove over here that I lose my way. But thankfully, my wife was with me and she helped me in navigating to this place. So, well, I'm back here. And this year, of course, you miss the Chinese New Year of the Pig because I was not here. Well, it's a long time since the last time I was here, but I'm glad to be back here to minister to you on this topic of Chinese New Year. On Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem is a very important study, and in fact, two studies may not be enough. This study was requested especially by Sengani Bong Gospel Hall. And on the 13th of May, I was asked to speak on this topic of significant cities in the scriptures. And the first one was Jerusalem. The next one was Babylon. So I started with Jerusalem. And when I was asked to speak on that day, 13th of May 2018, four very important things happened. And I referred to these four events. Perhaps many of you would remember them. Firstly, last year, 9th of May, there was an election. 10th of May, 4 a.m., it was announced that the old government had fallen. A new government had come into being. And that was a new day for Malaysia. So that now we have the slogan, New Malaysia. Now I want to pause here for a while and speak of the events that led to this, because they are important for us to understand this in the context of Jerusalem as well. Before the election, many Christians were discussing among themselves how they could even prayerfully God will bring down this government, the previous government, because it was corrupt and it was not healthy. So a lot of short message texts and also through the social media, a lot of WhatsApp messages were sent. Christians to Christians and to others as well, pray for the downfall of the government, that a new government may be set up. Now, as far as I can remember, there was a Christian minister who appealed to the Christians, please do not forward all these messages, because these messages are being used by our Muslim friends to forward to their friends. Because in that discussion, they were even regarding this battle as a spiritual warfare, that the other side was satanic and they will have to fight against Satan and his army. And so the other side, when they received this kind of message, they would have thought that, oh, we are satanic. And so that would be the challenge. NECF also appealed. NECF is a National Evangelistic Fellowship, Christian Fellowship, also appealed to all its members, please do not forward. Please do not send all these messages to bring down the government, because it is not right. Now, why do I bring this up? My challenge is this. Today, when the results were announced, many Christians were very happy. God had answered our prayer. What if the government did not fall? What if the previous government continued? Would you say, one, God did not answer your prayer? Would you say that God's will was not fulfilled? Now, we have to understand this. We cannot make God do our will, because when we persistently ask, Lord, get rid of this government because this government is bad for the Christians. Is that our will or God's will? Was there a purpose of God to allow these things to happen? We must consider Romans 13, 1 and 2. We must consider Romans 13, 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Do you believe that every government in existence today is under God's control, is set up by God, and that God has a purpose in allowing such a regime to carry on, whether it be bad or good? And can we ask God, God, pull down this government because it's bad so that a new government may be set up? If when we do this, are we imposing our will on God's will? Or are we prepared to obey God's will? When Paul wrote this, he was in prison in Rome. He was under great persecution, Emperor Nero. He knew that his departure was very near, as he wrote to Timothy. And yet, he wrote these kind of words: subject yourself. As we shall see in the discussion of Jerusalem, God had a purpose. Surely, surely, very surely, the Jews, during the time when they were persecuted, when they were in Egypt, in the time of Exodus, when they were in Babylon during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when they were scattered all over the world, they had been crying out, Lord, save us, pull down the government, allow us to exist properly in peace. Wouldn't they appeal to the Lord in that kind of prayer? They would. But did God answer them? No, God did not answer them. But when it came to the time when they should be released from Egypt, God released them. When it came for the time when they should return from Babylon, they came back. God had his purpose. And when you cry out, God topple the government, at a time when it was not time for God to release or to relieve the government, his people, then it would not be his will. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, when he was on earth, when he was asked to do all the miracles and to destroy his enemies, said, no, it's not God's will. The time will come when he will call upon the Lord and God will answer him. And so we go on from here. Let us understand that God's sovereign will over all things, that we cannot impose God to do our will in order that we enjoy so-called peace. For there might be a reason why he allowed such kind of things happening to us. Second date, 19 April 2018, near to 13 May, Israel announced their independence. They announced their independence on the 14th of May 1948. They claim themselves to be a state. Now that day, 18 April 2018, I put down 1819 because that is to coincide with the Jewish date. The Jewish date will be starting in the evening of that day and not at 12 o'clock midnight. So it's different. So they have one day, we have two days to coincide with that one day. Now, on 14 May 1948, they declared their independence, that they were a state. from 1948 to 2018 would be 70 years. Israel was very happy. They were celebrating their 70th independence. And they realized too that 70 is a number that keeps on occurring in the Bible. They were 70 years in captivity and God acted and God freed them. 70th year, very important year. And they celebrated that day as different from all other years when they celebrated Independence Day. Thirdly, 12-13 May 68 and 1918, they declared Jerusalem Day. What's so important? Here again is Jerusalem up to that time, up to before this time, was not wholly under Israel. Israel had occupation of the old city of Jerusalem. The eastern Jerusalem was under Jordan. But in a miraculous way, Jerusalem came under the regime of Israel. I'll explain that afterwards. And therefore, there was then a reunification of eastern Jerusalem with western Jerusalem, so that Jerusalem, east and west, became united as one. And that was a big celebration for Israel, because at last, Jerusalem was under their control. And that was a miracle, as we shall see later on. And therefore, they announced Jerusalem Day. 13th of May, a bad day for us. I know many of you, older ones, will remember 13th of May, 1969. That was a bad day. It was a Mother's Day at that time. It coincided Mother's Day. Why should I bring in Mother's Day in connection with the study of Jerusalem? Why? Because on 12th May 2019, that's Mother's Day, Mother and Jerusalem are connected in Galatians 4:26. And we read, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, Paul discussed the role of the Jews and the Christians. The Jews were under the old regime, the old economy, under Hagar, mother of Ishmael. She would represent the law. Christians would be under grace, and they would be under Sarah, mother of Isaac. Because Sarah, at an old age, believed that she could have a son, as promised by God. In faith, she believed and her faith was fulfilled. And so, there was a discussion in Galatia at that time, the Christian, the Jews wanted the Christians to observe the law. And Paul said, no, we are free from the law. We are now under grace. We are no more under law. And therefore, Jerusalem is not only connected with Israel and the law, Jerusalem is also connected with the Christian. For the Christian is also looking for a new Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. We are marching towards Zion. Another name for Jerusalem. We are going to Zion, heaven. And so, Jerusalem belongs not only to the Jews in history, historically, but also to the Christians, spiritually. So, it's important that Jerusalem has a role to play for the Jews as well as for the Christians. Right, now with that, we come on to the study of Jerusalem, part 1. Again, an introduction. In order for us to understand the role and responsibility of Jerusalem as described in the scriptures. Again, there are 4 significant dates regarding Israel. The first one would be on 2nd November 1917, England, who had a mandate over Palestine, was going to surrender a home for the Jews. And they declared under the Balfour Declaration, Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm operating two laptops at one time. I get all confused. No. Oh, I moved over here. I didn't move over there. I'm so sorry. All right. That was what I was supposed to talk about just now. And it was supposed to be on the screen. It's very confusing, working two laptops at one time. That laptop over there controls the screen. My laptop here controls me. So when I control here, I do not know that laptop is not controlled. So there is a bit of confusion. All right. Okay, with that. Now let's go on to Jerusalem. That's we said. All right. Four significant dates, the Balfour Declaration. Now, that was a very important declaration by England to the Jewish settlers that up to this time, Jerusalem was under the mandate of England, and England was about to surrender that mandate. And England wrote a declaration known as the Balfour Declaration. I have much pleasure in conveying to you on behalf of His Majesty Government the following declaration of sympathy with Jewish Zionist aspirations, which has been submitted to and approved by the Cabinet. His Majesty's government view with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people. Note that. A national home for the Jewish people. And will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object, it being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. All right. In simple words, the declaration promised a place in Palestine to be a home for the Jews. What happened? Up to this very stage, the Jews had no home. The Jews had been scattered all over the world. Since 70 AD, when the Romans attacked Jerusalem, they scattered Jerusalem. There are Jews all over the world. This is again in accordance to God's will, because they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and they must be punished. And they were taken away from their home and they were scattered all over the four corners of the world. But this mandate would allow them to come back to Palestine to hope for a home for the Jews. Alright, so that was the start of the enmity between Israel and the Palestinian people and the Arab states in the neighborhood up to today. Oh, sorry. All right, let me show you what happened. 1948, there was only about 8,000 Jews, 10,000 Jews in Palestine. But over the years, after the Balfour Declaration, the Jews came back from all over the world. And by today, they have a population of 8 million. So we find God bring them back. Now that is not an accident. God had promised in Isaiah that He would bring them back the second time from all over the world. This is not a prophecy with regard to the bringing them back from Babylon. That was the first. God said, I will bring them back, Isaiah chapter 11, the second time, so that they will be brought back from all over the world. We shall deal with that in detail in part 2 of our study of Jerusalem. Okay, let's go on from here. another date. Sorry, this is the same date. I told you about Jerusalem Day already. Another date. How did this Jerusalem Day come about? It came about because of what happened in 1967, which is commonly known as the Six-Day War. 5th to 10th of June, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. What happened during 6 days? During the 6 days, I was in Kuala Lumpur doing my extra training. And I saw all this on television. Fantastic. 6 days. Let me explain. Egypt decided to close the Straits of Tiran. If they close the Straits of Tiran, Israel would be boycotted. There will be no more ships going into Israel. For any ship to go into Israel, it would have to go down, right down to South Africa, right down, back, and up here. And definitely, Israel could not allow that. When they heard that Egypt was trying to separate them from the rest of the world, they attacked Egypt. They attacked Egypt. And do you realize that within the first two, three days, 95% of the air force of Egypt in the Sinai Peninsula were destroyed. 95% to 97%, all completely destroyed. So much so that suddenly Israel had no aircraft to do the battle anymore. Then they sent a false message to Jordan, to Syria. Come and help us. We are winning the fight. Fake news, as far back as that time. We are winning the fight. Come and help us. Syria did not know. Jordan did not know what happened in the Sinai Peninsula. Israel had warned these two, don't join the fight against us. If you do so, we'll attack you. But they thought Egypt was winning. They joined in. The result was Israel attacked. And Israel got back the West Bank. Israel got back the Golan Heights from Syria. And up to today, they will not give back. Why? Reason, good reason. West Bank inside Jerusalem. Jerusalem. They will not get back. For once, East, West Jerusalem was united with East Jerusalem. Hence the celebration of Jerusalem Day. And they have promised, even recently, and the celebration of Jerusalem Day, they will never give back Jerusalem to Jordan, because they believe that Jerusalem is the city promised by God to them. They will not give up Golden Heights. Golden Heights would be a very strategic place to attack Israel, because from the heights they could oversee everything in Egypt. In Israel. So Golan Heights would not be surrendered. And so that's how the Arab nations lost these two very important territories. Now let's go on. See how God worked. 6 days Israel managed to capture all of Sinai, part of Jordan, part of Syria, the Golan Heights, and the west of Jerusalem. Now, all these would now come under Israel. Who could ever imagine in 6 days these territories would fall? Can you ever imagine that? It was a miracle. 6 days, and these territories would fall, so that today these territories would now form part and parcel of the fulfillment of God's prophecy for Israel in the coming days. Do you believe in God? This is again proof of God's control of all sovereign states. If God could control all this, God could control the fulfillment of all the prophecies in Scripture today. And this means that once Israel is able to control all these places, then the Lord's coming is very near. Because the preparation for the fight for Jerusalem is very, very near as well. Now comes this very strange and weird resolution from the United Nations. 2nd of May 2017, they came out with the UNESCO resolution. What was this UNESCO resolution about? It's called the Occupied Palestine Resolution, and it was submitted by Algeria, Egypt, Lebanon, Morocco, Oman, Qatar, and Sudan. And what was that about? That Israel has no legal or historical rights anywhere in Jerusalem. The vote, which coincided with Israel's Independence Day, was passed with 22 countries in favor, 23 abstentions, 10 opposed, and the reps of 3 countries absent. 10 countries voted against. They were the US, UK, Italy, Netherlands, Lithuania, Greece, Paraguay, Ukraine, Togo, and Germany. And of course, you know who would be voting in favor. I need not have named the country. And so, what is this UNESCO resolution about? Why is it so important? It claims that Israel has no jurisdiction whatsoever over Jerusalem. It has no historical connection with it, no legacy. And that's why, with the passing of that resolution, today all the places in the Temple Mount, all the names have been changed from Jewish names and English names to Arabic names. There are no, you don't refer to these towns in English or in Jewish name. It's all Arabic. Showing that they now have, they belong to the Arab nations. He said, so the impression is that the Arabic nation has a legacy over Israel. Okay. Today, we know, May 14, 2018, the U.S. made a very, very unique act. They set up their embassy in Jerusalem on May 14, 2018. The first one. All other countries dare not put their embassies in Jerusalem for fear that Israel, the Arab nations, would accuse them of recognizing Israel's authority over Jerusalem. So they set up their embassies in Tel Aviv. U.S. was the first one to remove their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Later on, followed by Guatemala. The others wanted to follow, but under pressure, they withdrew. So today, there are only 2 embassies in Jerusalem. All right. So we find things happening now. Despite 1,300 years of Muslim Arab rule, Jerusalem was never the capital of an Arab entity, nor was it ever mentioned in the Palestine Liberation Organization's covenant until Israel regained control of East Jerusalem in the Six-Day War of 67. And yet they claim Israel has no legacy over Jerusalem. They have, and yet in their history, Jerusalem is never mentioned at all. But not only that, as we shall see later on, something more important. So, very quickly, let me take over about 5 minutes more. Actually, I need another 40 minutes more, but you just leave it for next week.
We can go up to 10:45.
10:45, okay, thank you. All right. Now, the city of Jerusalem. Now, since the Arabs accused Israel of having no legacy over Jerusalem, we shall now try to prove that indeed Israel has every right to say that Jerusalem belongs to them. First, let's look at the city of Jerusalem. Today, it has an international status. Jerusalem today is recognized by three major religions: Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. The holy city is 14 miles of the Dead Sea. Am I here? 33 miles east of the Mediterranean, situated on a rocky plateau of 2,550 feet, that is twice the height of Penang Hill. Jerusalem is not flat, it's twice the height of Penang Hill, and about 3,800 feet above the level of the Dead Sea. David's city, or Jebusite Jerusalem, was shaped like a gigantic human footprint. This was what Jerusalem looked like in history at the very, very beginning. We call it the Jebusite city of Jerusalem. It looked like a giant footprint. That's old Jerusalem. Today is an integrated state with four quarters. There is the Christian quarter, the Armenian quarter. They were the first group of people who came to stay in Jerusalem at that time. Very old, ancient people. Jewish quarter and the Muslim quarter. And this is what we call the area, the Temple Rock, the Temple Mount, which is in the controversy with regard to the resolution that we were discussing just now, where we have the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They are under control of the Muslim quarter, but it is to be accessible to all the international religions, because it's an international district. What is the meaning of Jerusalem? Hey, I'm sorry, I've forgotten again. All right? Okay, I'm right. Its origin. We do not know the original meaning of Jerusalem, but people think that its Hebrew refers to a hill of Jerusalem, from the root word dual, which has an allusion to two main hills, probably Mount Ophel and Moriah, as we shall see here. That would be Jerusalem, Mount Ophel, and Mount Moriah. Two mountains over there for Jerusalem to rest on. The irony of the name Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem actually is a shortened name for Salem, or as we are told, Shalom, a city of peace with little peace. I still remember when I was in Israel, and I was on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem. I bought a big chart of Jerusalem, panoramic view of Jerusalem. Unfortunately, at that time, I was with a group of all charismatics. My wife and I were the only one who were non-charismatics. And they asked me, one of them asked me, "Mr. Ang, why are you buying that chart of Jerusalem?" I said, "Why? What's wrong? It's very beautiful. It has a panoramic view of Jerusalem." "You buy this, you take home." "Yes, I'm going to take home. I'm going to put it in my guest room. What's wrong with that?" "Oh, you take home, you have no peace. Because city Jerusalem has never peace. So when you take it home, your home will have no peace." I said, "Never mind. I'm going to put it in a guest room where the guests have no peace." But up to today, I can assure you, all my guests have never complained that they have no peace staying in that room. Because they stay in a house. My house is called Bethel, the house of God. And house of God is peace. Alright, let's look at its occurrences in scripture. Jerusalem. We are testing the legacy, you know, of Jerusalem with Israel. Has Israel any right over Jerusalem? Now, let's see, first of all, how many times it occurs in the Old Testament. in the Old Testament occurs 643 times, the word Jerusalem, in the King James Version. The first occurrence is found in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 1, when the king we have reference to, Adonizedek, the king of Jerusalem, who got an alliance of four other kings to fight against the Gibeonites. Five kings altogether. Now, that was the first occurrence of Jerusalem, the king of Jerusalem, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 3. The last occurrence was found in Malachi chapter 3, verse 4. And it refers to the time when God would have taken judgment over the world for their sin, and then God would set up his capital in Jerusalem, and all offerings will come in into Jerusalem. That was the last occurrence in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 4. So, total in the Old Testament, 643 times. In the New Testament, total 83 times. First occurrence, Matthew 2:1. When the wise men came and they said, "Where is he that is born king of Jerusalem?" The wise men came to Jerusalem. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" They were the first to acknowledge Jerusalem and the Jews. The last occurrence would be Revelation 21:10, when John saw a bride coming down from heaven, and it was likened to the holy Jerusalem from God. So, in the New Testament, 83 times. In the Old Testament, 43 times. In the Scriptures, altogether, total of 726 times. Now, do you say now still that Israel has no jurisdiction, no legacy with Jerusalem? Let me say this. In the Quran, there is not even one occasion when Jerusalem is mentioned. Not even once is the name mentioned in the Quran. The best of all was when Prophet Muhammad was claimed to be to return to heaven from Jerusalem. That's all. When the Muslims pray, where do they face? They face Mecca. When they face Mecca, their back is towards Jerusalem. So, is this their legacy? So, the oldest form is Jerusalem, shortened to Salem in Psalm chapter 76, verse 2. And we know for sure that Salem would refer to Jerusalem, as it refers to the Melchizedek, king of Salem, in Hebrews 7, 2. So, that's Jerusalem in its original word. It's also named Zion or Zion, transliterated from Hebrew to be Zion or Zion, or in the Greek Sion or Zion. Zion first mentioned in the account of David's conquest of Jerusalem in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, where David conquered the Jebusite city and painted Zion. Jerusalem was the name of the city, state as a whole, and included numerous villages and houses. After David captured Zion, he resided there and changed its name to be the capital of Israel, which he called the City of David. And that's why today Israel claimed that Jerusalem was the City of David, their capital, and they have every right to it. Zion was used by biblical writers in a variety of ways. We won't go through them because we don't have time. It was used of a temple built by Solomon, Israel as a nation, the capital of Judah, the city of God in the new age, and heavenly Jerusalem. We are marching towards Zion. That's a song that we know. It is also known as the City of David. The City of David would mean that it's the capital of Israel. David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the City of David, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7. I'm losing my voice already. Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon, Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant. So the Ark later on was transferred to Jerusalem, the city of God. Another name for it: there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And that's why today Jerusalem will never fall into the hands of the Gentiles anymore. It has now come back to be the city of God, and this is very near to the time when Christ will come soon, when Jerusalem shall be the stumbling block of all nations, and all will start to attack Jerusalem. That will be in our next study next week. Rehoboam reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Jerusalem, the city where I have chosen to put my name. And so you see, so very, very important that God has his name there already, and God would not allow Jerusalem to be taken away. No, never anymore, after his program has been fulfilled for the Jews. So, summary. What have I been saying? I've dealt with you the four significant calendar dates, the city, the connotation of it, its origin, its occurrences, its oldest form, its other names, and we should be dealing with God's choice of the Jews and Jerusalem. Why did God choose the Jews? Why did God choose Jerusalem? Why? And God's chastisement of and curses of Jerusalem. We shall next week trace the history of the Jews from this time onwards up to our present time, and how they were cursed by God because, and chastised by God because, they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. But God, when they repent, will bring them back again unto Jerusalem, and Jerusalem will prosper, and Christ will reign for 1,000 years on earth. This is the glorious prospect of Jerusalem, which we shall discuss next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy control and sovereign will over all things on earth. And we do realize, Lord, that whatever is going on in the world today is under thy eyes and under the control of thy hands. Lord, we do pray that we may have confidence in thee, that we may trust thee for all things to work together as thou hast planned. And in the meanwhile, Lord, all these things show to us very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Help us to be prepared for him, we do pray. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.